And welcome everyone to another edition of The Final Point. Now I'm about to jump into the second part of my show, which would be talking more so about the NFL. One of the things I want to get to is you got opening night. I believe it's September the 5th, Thursday night. September the 5th is going to be the Packers and the Bears. What is my thought process on that particular game? Well, I think that the Packers hadn't done too much or not enough for me to believe that they can beat the Bears at home at Soldier Field at this time. But I think that's kind of where the preseason kicks in, is because you're able to see what you have on your roster. You'll see what's out there on free agency, and you'll see what can you do to get better. I think for Green Bay is, number one, they invested a lot of money into Aaron Rodgers. And I believe that when you invest a lot of money into your quarterback, you have to solidify an offensive line to protect your investment. I think last year he had a difficult time because the offense of protection and the pass rush just didn't allow him to be able to move around in the pocket like we know he can. But he's a gunslinger, so he gets the ball out pretty quick. So I think as far as this game in particular, we're going to find out, you know, just real early. You know, you'll see if the Bears made significant changes to be able to beat the Packers. Because each year I hear different people say, well, the Packers are a contender. They're this, they're that, and they're still your maybe 8-win team, 10-win team, maybe wild card get knocked out, Aaron Rodgers gets hurt, or something crazy like that. When you look at the Giants and the Cowboys, we play again on Sunday, September the 8th. The Giants are in a rebuilding mode. Okay, so I don't really see the Giants beating us, especially if they feel this is Eli Manning's last year. And from what I'm being told, he has $20 million. So his contract holds $20 million to the cap right now. And so, of course, you know, it's only fair to go ahead and let him ride off into the sunset. This is probably his last year, and it's the end of his contract. But I think Dallas is going to go ahead and win this game in the first game of the season. I think that Dallas has done, you know, enough to go ahead and I think they're going to destroy New York. I don't think when you're in a rebuilding stage, you really don't know where you're at, and they're not going to know right away where they're going in the first game of the season. They're not going to know. You know, I mean, at least with the Cowboys, you saw their talent last year. You saw it before that, the year before that. So you see what direction Dallas was going in. And I like the changes they made. They actually added Randall Cobb, a former receiver for the Green Bay Packers. And I like that. And he replaced Cole Beasley. So I like that move. We added Quinn from the Dolphins. I like that. I think we did okay. Could we have had a better offseason? Possibly, but for with the cap space we had, the draft picks we had, we didn't have a first-round pick. So I think for under the circumstances that the Cowboys were under this year, I think we did a pretty swell job with that. Then you got the Titans and Browns, Redskins. Ravens and Dolphins, Falcons, Vikings, Bills and Jets. So basically, Le'Veon Bell is going to open up against the Bills September the 8th. Eagles and Redskins, another rivalry. And then you have your Sunday night game, Steelers and Patriots opening the first Sunday night game. And then you have your Monday night game. The first game is going to be Texans and Saints. And you can catch that September the 9th on ESPN. And then the nightcap will be the Broncos and Raiders from Oakland. And that's going to be the doubleheader September the 9th on ESPN. You can catch that. The NFL is going to be I think the NFL is going to be crazy this year. And I think we're going to find out a lot about Oakland Raiders. I kind of want to touch on the Oakland Raiders right now. And they opened up their preseason against... they're going to open up against the Rams Saturday, August 10th. And we're going to find out early what they have. We're going to find out. We're going to get a look at these rookies. And we're going to get a look at the rookies they drafted in spite of the fact that maybe myself and some of the other critics disagreed with their draft picks and how they reach for their first pick in the draft. And then you also have that same night, the Cowboys versus the 49ers. And that game is interesting for the simple fact that we're going to find out. To me, I'm against John Lynch being the GM. I really don't think you take a TV analyst and then you make him the GM. But we're going to see what he can do with him making, you know, the decisions. And see where San Francisco's at. And I'm looking at it from this as a critic, and I'm looking at it from this standpoint. And I'm also looking at it from a football standpoint, is that has San Francisco made significant changes to be better than what they were last year? And I will take under consideration that San Francisco had a lot of injuries last year. So they went through several different running backs. But fast forward into this year, I think their running game is fine. Quarterback, they're good. Offensively, as far as the offensive line, receivers, what have they done so far? And we're going to, all these questions that I may have, we're going to find that out real early. We're going to find that out. Also, notable signings. Just want to put this out there. Gerald McCoy has signed a one-year deal with the Panthers. And I'm going to touch on that also. What is my opinion on that? Well, I think for the Panthers, it's a great signing. Because Coach Rivera is more of a defensive coach anyway. And I think that being a defensive tackle is more of your interior, you know, defensive player at the defensive tackle position. So I think with them getting him on a one-year deal, I think it's worth the risk. And he's playing for a much better team. He's not playing with Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is not... I mean, he's done all he can do in Tampa, I think. And it's time to move on. It's time to maybe compete for a championship and things of that nature. Another notable note here, Browns running back Duke Johnson wants to be traded. He's asked the Cleveland Browns to trade him. He doesn't feel wanted with some of the decisions that the Browns have made this offseason. And he feels that his carries are going to be limited. And I think that for the Browns, if he wants to go, trade him, see what you can get. You can probably get maybe a fourth or a fifth round pick for Duke Johnson if that's what people are willing to offer you. I still think he's a really good player, and I think that he can help somebody's offense in the league. And maybe he's worth the trade if maybe one of your top backs is hurt. Moving forward, college football. I'm very excited about college football because you see a lot of what these teams are doing. You see a lot of what these teams are doing. The biggest question for me is, what can Mack Brown, the new head coach for North Carolina, he was the former coach of the Texas Longhorns who beat USC for the title, which still burns me till this day. But what can he do for the Carolina Tar Heels, and can he turn that program around? It's going to be very interesting how they perform in the ACC. And that's a very tough, tough program, and it's a very tough decision as far as coming out of retirement to take over the program and to compete at the highest level in the ACC. That's a very tough division. If you look at it from, you know, those standpoints, first of all, I also want to, you know, put some notable notes out here. If you look at the AP top 25, you got Clemson, who went 15-0. Now, Clemson went 15-0 for what reason? The question is, on their schedule, is it a notable schedule? Like, do they have, or who is a liable threat to upset them on their entire schedule? Same thing with Alabama. Alabama won 14 out of their last 15 last year, played for the national championship. Ohio State, 13-1 also. Oklahoma went 12-2. And then Notre Dame went 12-1. So to me, I disagree with the AP top rankings. I believe, yeah, Clemson's number one. But when you say Clemson's number one, are you judging that based on their record or how much they've improved versus how much they lost from last year? I believe Clemson is number one for right now. I think Alabama's two. I would say that LSU went 10-3 last year. I would be willing to move them ahead of Notre Dame just because of what LSU has acquired from this year and then also how well they played last year. They went 10-3. They lost some close games last year, but I think they'll be even better than what they were last year with a lot of improvements that they've made. Georgia is number eight in the country. I'm even willing to move them above Florida at number seven, maybe move them up a spot or two. I think they're ranked higher than that. Georgia went 11-3. And I just want to touch on the SEC conference is that the SEC conference is a very difficult conference. Just because of what teams are there. You got LSU, Florida, Georgia. You got Alabama, of course. Kentucky, who played pretty well last season. You also have Texas A&M, Tennessee, and the list goes on. And so, for you to come out, you know, 10-3 or 11-3 or whatever that is, that's a big accomplishment just because the SEC from top to bottom is a tough division to win in. Because you know you gotta, in order to win the conference, you have to beat Alabama no matter what. So it's like you have this powerhouse program and versus this elite program. And then you have this elite program versus an up and coming program. So it's gonna be interesting how these different divisions stack up. So I'm going to give you my prediction on the ACC and where I think who's going to win the ACC. So you have two different conferences. You have the Coastal Conference, which is break down into two divisions. You have the Atlantic and you have the Coastal. Now, when you look at the Coastal, you say, okay, you got Pitt, Georgia Tech, Virginia, Miami, Virginia Tech, Duke, and UNC. And neither of those teams, with the exception of the University of Virginia, might add, they went 8-5, and they had a great home record. They went 6-1, so they've won 6 out of the last 7 at home last year. I don't know if University of Virginia made enough improvement to compete for an ACC title. If you're basing it on from last year, then I believe they could probably get it to the ACC title, providing the fact that they've somewhat kept what they have from last year. And then whatever they brought in this year, I think it might be tough and they might come out of the Coastal. So to answer you guys' question, I have the University of Virginia coming out of the Coastal in the ACC. And then you have Clemson. I don't see anybody beating Clemson. So those are my two teams coming out of the ACC, Virginia and Clemson. And might I add, Virginia went 8-5 last year. So I think that you don't just go 8-5 and then you lose it. Virginia is not a very good road team. So they were 1-4 last year. So out of 5 road games, they only won 1. They went 8-5 overall, but then they went 6-1 at home. So they were very tough at home. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do. I mean, overall, when you look at what their home record was and then their away record, If you combine it, they actually went 7-5. They actually went 7-5. And then they had their bowl win. That made it 8-5. So they did really well. They won 8 games last year, and that's a big improvement for that program. So, again, I believe we're looking at Virginia and Clemson coming out of the ACC. That's my prediction. Big 12. Big 12 is going to be interesting. As we know, again, they're broken down. Well, actually, they're not broken down. It's just one strict conference. But when you look at, obviously, the best two teams in the conference, it's definitely going to be Oklahoma and Texas. If you look at it last year, Oklahoma had a stellar season in the Big 12. They went 7-0 at home last year, and they won 4 straight games. They were 4-0 at home with only 1 loss overall. So Oklahoma is rated, you know, the number 4 team. But I believe that, you know, with Jalen Hurts and what they have in that dynamic offense, I think they're going to pick up where they left off. And so they're going to be one of the teams that I will select out of the Big 12 to play in a championship game. So I have Oklahoma coming out. And I woke up early in the morning, I think back in February, I woke up early in the morning to see the National Signing Day. And I was very impressed with what Texas did. I think that they're a much better football team now. I think they're better than 7-2 in the conference, 10-4 overall. They had a really good year last year. They won 5 out of their last 6 at home, and then they won 3 out of their last 4 on the road. So they had a really good season. And also, not to take anything away from the Iowa State went 8-5, and then they went 6-1. So when I look at these stats, along with West Virginia, who could put up a ton of points, it just seemed like at home these were really good home teams. And then they would get on the road and play in the conference, then you start looking at it like, oh, okay, so they went, you know, 2-2, or, you know, they went 2-3, or like, for example, Iowa State went 2-3, so they won 2 out of the last 5. West Virginia won 2 out of the last 4. Same thing with TCU. They went won 2 out of the last 5, but they went 7-6 in the conference. So I think this is a really good conference in the Big 12. And I think when it comes down to playing in the Big 12, it's all about who shows up. So I think that the best two teams this year, based on what everyone has lost last year, I would have to say it's going to be Texas. Texas and Oklahoma is going to be coming out of the Big 12 this year. Those are so far, that's what I have right now as far as the ACC and the Big 12. And then as you move along, you talk about the Big 10. The Big 10 is interesting because the Big 10 always comes down to your Michigans. It comes down to your Ohio States every single year. And I think that people tend to, at times, maybe slip away from some of the competitors. And this is a team, this is a conference that's broken down. You have your East and then you have your West. I think a lot of people forgot a lot about Northwestern. And Northwestern was rated number 21 in the country last year, and they won. Last year they went 8-1, so they won 8 out of their last 9 in the conference. And then they were undefeated on the road. They didn't lose a road game last year, so I thought that was impressive for Northwestern last year. They didn't lose a football game on the road last year. They went 5-0. And when you look at Ohio State lost a road game last year, even though they went undefeated at home. And then Michigan went 8-1, and they didn't lose in the conference either. So they were stellar. Overall, Michigan went 10-3 overall, but they went 8-1 in their conference. And I'm more emphasizing on the conference because that's what legitimately says a lot about you when you come out the conference, and that's what dictates the bowl. So, like, if you think about it, you have the Big Ten. They're always the winner of the Big Ten normally plays for the national championship. Not normally plays for the national championship, but they play in the Rose Bowl. So looking at it, you're like, oh, wow, maybe Wisconsin can do it. Wisconsin's made some improvements, but they didn't have a good year in the conference, but overall they went 8-6. I thought Purdue did really well. They were on a roll when they beat Ohio State, and then after that they kind of just fell apart, and they didn't do too well. Michigan State got off to a slow start, but they found a way to win 7 ball games. They struggled at home and on the road, so hopefully, you know, they can turn that around. So basically, the way I see it is that I'm going to go with Ohio State. Actually, I'm going to go with Ohio State to win the Big Ten, and then I'm going to go ahead and go with Northwestern to play for the Big Ten title this year, and that's the team I got coming out of the Big Ten. So those are my predictions there as far as that conference, and I'm going to break these conferences down as I go. The Mountain West. The Mountain West is a division that I think is overlooked, and you know, some people feel that it's not an interesting conference. I think it is. I think the most impressive two teams from last year was the university. It was actually Utah State University. And here's a funny stat for you here, is that the Utah State went 6-0 at home. They didn't lose a game at home in the Mountain West. They didn't lose a game at home. They finished 11-2, which is a huge year for them. That goes to show you how they recruit. Boise State went 7-1 overall, 10-3, and they went 5-1 as far as on the road. I guess they did. They did pretty well. Fresno State, I thought, was the most impressive team for me. They had a 4-game winning streak. They're also undefeated at home. They went 7-1, 12-2 overall. And the interesting thing that I liked about Fresno State is that they're under Jeff Tedford, a very good coach, the former Cal coach. Impressive. I like what he did, how he turned around that program. Also, I think University of Nevada, shout out to them. They actually went 8-5 in the conference. Actually, overall, they went 8-5, which I thought was a good step in the right direction. Even the University of Hawaii went 8-6 in the conference. I've seen worse than that. San Jose State went 1-11. They've only won one ball game last year. They need some super improvement. Same thing with University of New Mexico. They also only won one ball game last year. So I think that this conference is wide open. But I would have to say this year, based on from what I've seen as far as the recruiting and the development of the programs, I would definitely have to say coming out of the West, Mountain West, would definitely be Boise State. And then I'm also going to go with Fresno State. So Fresno State and Boise State will be my two teams coming out of the Mountain West. Those are my two teams that will play for the title. And I think those are the two teams that's going to come out of that division. But I still think it's wide open, and I'm not overlooking Utah State at all. The Pac-12. Interesting, and I know my listeners are waiting for this. Pac-12. Now, the Pac-12, you got your North and you have your South. Now, I'm not going to be biased. I'm going to call it the way that I see it. And we have some really good programs here. And the one thing I want to emphasize, too, is that you have the Oregon Ducks, a team that is, I wouldn't say that's in rebuilding mode, because they still went 9-4 in the conference last year. I think that they've made some significant adjustments, and I think that they're going to be tough again, like they were maybe 2 years ago. They're going to be a team to watch out for. USC, we had a horrible year. We went 5-7 in the conference. Actually, no, we went 4-5 in the conference. We went 5-7 overall, and we weren't very good on the road or at home. So I would have to say that, and also shout out to Arizona State. They had a really good year. They went 7-6 overall, but they only lost one game at home last year. So they went five out of their last six. But coming out of the Pac-12, it's going to be rough. You have Washington Huskies. They were undefeated last year at home. They went 7-2 in the conference, 10-4 overall, along with the Washington State. Washington State's rated in the top 10. They won. They're 7-2 in the conference, 11-2 overall, and they lost one game at home and one game on the road. So I'm going to definitely make my pick right now. So in the Pac-12, I'm looking for the Washington Huskies to win the North, and then to win the South, I'm going to go ahead and go with the Arizona State. I think is going to be out. They're going to be one of the best teams out there. And I say that because I think Washington was a top team in the North, and then Arizona State was second to the top team in the South. And I like the way in the direction that Herm Edwards got them going, and I think that they made a lot of significant changes and improvement from last year to their recruiting. So those are my picks as far as the Pac-12 is concerned. Moving right along, the SEC. Now, this I save the best for last because this is a very tough division. It's broken down east and west also. So let's talk about that. There are three, maybe six legitimate teams that can play for the SEC title. And I thought all the teams did a great job in recruiting. But this is a fun fact here, is that the University of Georgia lost one game last year. Actually, no, they lost three games last year. But what I liked about them last year was they lost one game in the conference last year, but they were able to solidify their home to protect home, meaning that they were undefeated. So they won all seven ball games at home, which is tough to do, again, when you're playing your Alabamas, your LSUs, your Floridas, and then they have to come to at Georgia. It's very difficult in the SEC to be 7-0. It's very difficult. And the only reason why I say that is because this is a conference that you could have Missouri beat you. You can have Vanderbilt beat you. University of South Carolina is coming up. They did a great job in recruiting. Auburn can beat you. Arkansas can beat you. Tennessee could even beat you. So this is a conference to where if you don't show up, it's an automatic upset. University of Kentucky, shout out to them. They had a stellar season. They're a top 12 program. They went 5-3 in the conference, 10-3 overall, 6-1 at home. So they only lost one ball game at home last year, which is impressive. University of Florida, I like what Mullen has done so far. They're rated number 7. Out of 8 games, they won 5. They went 10-3 overall in the conference, and they were undefeated on the road at 4-0. And so when I look at it from that perspective, I think that in the SEC East, I'm going to go with Georgia. Georgia, I think, is going to come out of that conference. Again, I think that they have way too much talent, and I think they're just going to dominate the East. Coming out of the West, I love LSU right now. That's a team that went 6-1 at home. They went 10-3 overall, but out of 8 games, they only won 5. So I would have to say that I'd have to go with Bama again. Bama went 7-0. They went 7-0 at home, and then they went 4-0. So they went 14-1 last year. Obviously, they're going to be the best team, so I'm going to go with Bama. I'm going to go with Bama in the SEC Conference. So those are my picks to come out of the SEC Conference. And these are my picks overall in the division. I just went over the top divisions. And so if you go back to what I said as far as the ACC,
I meant what I said as far as the ACC is that Virginia has improved significantly. So coming out of the ACC, I think they have a great shot. I didn't see that they lost, you know, too many people. But coming out of the SEC, I think that they're definitely going to be they're going to be tough. They're going to be tough. But I think Clemson is going to come out of the division. Now, who's going to win the conference? Let's go into that. Who's going to win the conference? So let's start with the ACC. The ACC, who I think out of the two teams, who's going to win? I'm going to go with Clemson. They're going to go ahead and win the ACC again. The Big 12, I'm going to go with Oklahoma. I think Oklahoma is going to win the Big 12 again. The Big 10, I would have to say Ohio State. I think Ohio State is going to win the Big 10 again. Mountain West, I have a shocker for you guys, so be ready for this. I want my listeners to be ready for this. In the Mountain West, I have an upset. I'm going to go with Fresno State to win the Mountain West this year. I'm going to go with Fresno State. The Pac-12. The Pac-12 is going to be interesting. I'm going to tell you this right now. I'm going to surprise you. I'm going to go with the Washington Huskies. I think they've made a lot of improvement this year. I like the way they're recruiting. I think they're going to win the Pac. They're going to win the Pac-12. The SEC. I love Georgia. I think Georgia continues to get better. They've improved. They lost a few receivers. I think they gained some more talent also. But I would have to say Alabama. I'm going to go with Alabama to win the SEC again, as probably predicted by most. Those are my teams. You know, my teams are going to be Clemson, Oklahoma, Ohio State, Fresno State, Washington, and Bama are going to be the teams I think that are going to win their conferences. And I'm just looking at it from a perspective of what they did last year and where they're at now as far as their recruiting. I don't see how can you not think that they won't do that. So I also want to take just a little bit more time here in my show. Just to let you know, let's jump into boxing real quick. And I kind of want to make this a clear deal as far as the weight classes and the divisions and things like that. And let's start with the lightweights. Right now, if you look at it, the junior lightweight, which is at 130, you have Gervonta Davis and Tevin Farmer. Both of those. And then you have Jamil Herring. So when you look at it from those guys, I think that the junior lightweight, I think Gervonta Davis has to clean that division up, I think, in the sport of boxing right now. Gervonta Davis at 130, and I think he can clean it up. I think he can beat everybody that's champion right now. And I think if he can't get the big money fights, I believe he might move up 5 more pounds to the lightweight, which is 135. And that's when you talk about fight maybe Lomachenko down the road. And by the way, Lomachenko is the WBA, WBO lightweight champion at 135. Gervonta Davis is the junior lightweight WBA champion. Tevin Farmer is the IBF junior lightweight champion at 130 pounds. So between the lightweight division and the junior lightweight division, there's some big money fights right there. I can already see it from here. Moving up to the welterweight division. And again, I've talked about this once before. It's going to be Manny Pacquiao's WBA regular welterweight championship on the line against Keith Thurman's WBA welterweight championship. And that's going to be at 147, July the 20th. But when I look at the division, I'm looking at, you know, welterweight, the WBO champion, Terrence Crawford, IBF Errol Spence, and then the WBC, Sean Porter. I think for Sean Porter, I think he has to make a statement. And I think if he was to fight an Errol Spence, which is probably going to be the next fight, now you're talking about the IBF and the WBC on the line, and I think Errol Spence will probably win that fight. And then when you talk about that from that perspective, then he becomes the IBF and WBC, and then he's probably going to be looking to fight Terrence Crawford for unification. So that's going to be interesting, folks. And that's just my prediction. That's what I think is going to happen at the welterweight division. Just on that note, key note here, the junior middleweight at 154, Tony Harrison has backed out of the fight with Charlo. Tony Harrison is the WBC junior middleweight champion at 154 pounds. Julian Williams is also the WBA junior middleweight champion, and he's also the IBF junior middleweight champion at 154. And I believe when you look at it from that standpoint, I believe Julian Williams, I think when it comes down to Charlo, Charlo's going to be looking to unify. I can tell you that right now. Since he lost, he's going to be looking to unify. So I think after he knocks off Harrison, he's probably going to be looking to fight Julian Williams for the IBF and WBA championship for unification for the junior middleweight at 154 pounds. And then moving forward to the middleweight division, which is at 160 pounds, Canelo Alvarez pretty much has unified the championship. He has the WBC, WBA, and IBF middleweight titles at 160 pounds. And then he also has super middleweight at 168. He has, Canelo Alvarez has a regular super middleweight championship. So he is the unified champion so far. Demetrius Andre is the last person he would have to clean up at the 160, and then I think he can move up to 168, maybe fight Caleb Plant, Anthony Durrell, or maybe a Billy Joe Saunders. So I believe that Canelo Alvarez at some point is going to clean up the middleweight and then also clean up the super middleweight at 160 pounds. Jermall Charlo is the WBC interim middleweight champion. So if he walks out with a belt, that's why you know he's the champion. Moving up, if you look at the light heavyweight championship at 175, you got Sergey Kovalev, which is the WBO champion. You also have Dmitry Bivol, and he is also the WBA at 175 light heavyweight champion. And then you have Marcus Brown, which is the WBA interim light heavyweight champion. So I believe that it would be a good money fight for Marcus Brown to maybe put his title on the line and to be able to fight Sergey Kovalev. That'd be a great fight, interesting fight. I would love to see that at 175 pounds. And then moving forward, you have the heavyweight division, which is unlimited. You have the WBO, IBF, WBA, new heavyweight champion of the world, Andy Ruiz Jr. You also have the WBC champion, Deontay Wilder. And as I spoke in my last podcast, if you give Deontay Wilder an opportunity to fight Andy Ruiz, he will unify every single belt at the heavyweight division. I don't even think this is even a matchup. I don't even think this is something that everybody would want to see, because, again, we know the outcome. We know the outcome. We know what's ahead. And that's going to be interesting. It's definitely going to be interesting. And a keynote, just so everyone knows, the promoter for Joshua Ruiz, the rematch is going to happen. They have everything in the works right now. We just don't know when they're gonna have the fight, but it is going to be. He's definitely gonna get his rematch, and Joshua exercised his rematch clause, so you're gonna be seeing Ruiz fight Joshua real soon here. As promised, because he said that's what was going to happen. That is my show for today. Thank you guys for tuning in. And check me out next week, starting Monday, 8 a.m. Monday through Friday, I'm going to be coming at you 5 days a week. So stay tuned, stay locked, and thank you for joining me.